We've been talking a couple of weeks ago. I've been preaching on honor. Honoring the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I put it off a couple of weeks, but here's the first of the year, and I want to carry this a little further. Honor and authority. Say amen, Pastor. In John chapter 13, I'm going to start in verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. When Jesus had just said that, he was troubled and said, verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Now, he said what? If you receive me, if you receive you, they receive me. Now, this honor thing is going to get a lot bigger than you think. And he says here in Matthew 10, I'm going to read verse 39, he that findeth his soul shall lose it, and he that loses his soul, for my sake, shall find it. He that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Now, he's not only talking to his disciples, he's talking to his church. Now, listen, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And by the way, I just want to tell you, prophets, I receive you in the name of a prophet. And I receive a prophet's reward. How about you? Then he goes on to say, he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. I receive a righteous man's reward. Are you with me? And then he goes on to say, and whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of water only in the name of a disciple, I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now we know by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Now this word reward, I want you to see this. We're going to talk about rewards here just for a minute, but I want you to understand something. It didn't cost you nothing to get there. But I'm telling you, there, when he comes back in Revelation 22, he says, when the Son of Man's coming back, he's coming back with his rewards to give to every man according as he receives it. What he's done, good or bad. I don't know about you, I don't want to just barely get there. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. I don't know if that thing's working or not, is it, Rod? Okay, look here. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Next verse. Okay, let's keep going. Now, if any man build upon this foundation of what? Christ. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. Wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones. And it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Say reward. I think it's time for us to realize there is a responsibility that comes along with kingdom living. And he that endureth to the end. Amen? And there's a reward there. And not only that, but, you know, in, like, give me 2 John chapter verse 8. 2 John verse 8. Rod, I think. Yeah. 1:8. There's just one chapter there. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Say full reward. That means there's a little reward, a little more reward, or there's a full reward. Now, how many want to receive a full reward? I mean, I don't want to get there yet as by fire. I don't know about you. That's not on my list. It's not those that start the race, but what? Those that finish it with joy. And we want to finish our course with joy. All right, So we see there's no other foundation laid than that which laid Christ laid. And there's a reward in this thing. All right. Now, we're going to be going through a lot this next year, you know, with government stuff. And I want to tell you, I've been as guilty as anybody sitting here about speaking against those in authority. But I want to tell you, there's no reward for that. Let me say it again. There's no reward for us speaking against those in authority. And we got to face the facts that we got some truth here in the scriptures that we have to live by. We can't just pick the ones we want to live by. We have some that we got to live by. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, I exhort therefore first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. Say how many? All. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. There's only one God. Say one God. We sang a lot about the King of Kings today, and there's no one that's greater than he. But you see here what he's saying, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. Pray for those in authority. Now, one of the things I want you to realize, that let's go on in Romans 13, verse 1 and 2. Now, listen to what it says. Let every soul, say that's me, be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Notice this, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. Also notice it says every soul. How many souls? That doesn't leave any of us out. That's all of us, without exception. And one of the things, the church, the New Testament speaks of civil authority, church authority, family, social. It includes employers, bosses, teachers, coaches. Every area of delegated authority is given by God. All authority originates with God. Say all authority. Now, you know, when we sang these songs today, you know, when I started looking at this in new light, I realized that the fear of God, you know, I started with the fear of God. We got to have fear of God. But the thing that I realized, there's not one person on earth today that's not where they are because God put them there. You know, even he said of Pharaoh, I've raised you up for this purpose. You remember that? And you remember when Saul messed up? You know, people say, well, the people chose Saul, but God chose David. No. God says, it grieves me that I have set Saul up as king because he has not totally followed me. There is not one place that you're going to find anybody in a place of authority that God didn't put them there, good or bad. God puts all authority, he sets everybody up, he puts them in. All authority is of God, but that doesn't say that all authority is godly. You got it? He says, I create the waster to destroy. Who created the waster? He did. I'm telling you, saints, once we got to come to the concept in the kingdom, it's all about him. And he's never give up that position. He's never let it out to anyone else. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we got to see that it's all authority that he set in. It doesn't leave any out. And, you know, it goes on to say, we pay taxes because authorities are working for our good. You know, when you look at policemen, look at what's happened in our society as we've put down authority, there's no respect for policemen. It's crazy what's going on in their world, but it's funneling down from no respect for authority. You know, I've never had a speeding ticket. I've never had a warning ticket. I never went to the principal's office. And I'll tell you why. Because I fear and respect authority. It's in my DNA. See why? Because we got to have rules and regulations. What did he call about those that practice iniquity? It's lawlessness. You're not under any kind of rules and regulations. The laws are set up here for our good. Scripture says if you obey the laws, you don't have anything to worry about. When I set my cruise, I don't worry about a highway patrol going to catch me. You drive the speed limit, you don't have to worry about it. But if you go over the speed limit and you get caught, there's consequences. And this is what he's saying. We got to learn to obey the authorities. And we got to pray for those that's in authority. Now, the guys in the coffee shop will tell you, I've tried, and we've all tried, but we've all failed. You know, it's easy to pray for Trump, but it wasn't too easy when Clinton and Obama was there. But it didn't tell us. You know, when it talks about slaves, bond slaves. Let me see if I... Give me 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. I'm just jumping around. Now, I know you don't like it. I don't like it either. But I want to tell you something. When I talk about those people in authority, I don't have the pleasure of God on my life, and I know it. And you can't tell me when you do, you have the pleasure of God on your life. Because he says, don't do it. Don't shout me down. Now, let's look here. As many servants, he's talking about those that are owned by somebody. As many servants as are under the yoke, count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now, what are you going to do with that? That the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Next verse. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefits. These things teach and exhort. So he's telling the slaves, submit to your masters and give them authority. I don't know if you think about Daniel. There's Daniel in Jerusalem, and him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are taken. Their parents probably killed, and they're brought to Babylon and put under the king. And it's astounding when the king had a dream and nobody could interpret it, and Daniel comes to the king, and give me Daniel 2:21. I think that's the verse we're going to look at. But I want you to see his response. Now, you know, he might have had a root of bitterness, but I don't see it anywhere. He says, when God gave him this, he said, and God changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and to the knowledge of them that know understanding. He says, God's the one that sets kings in, and God's the one that takes kings down. And you remember what he did. He gave the king the interpretation, told him what he had, a head of gold and all that stuff. We don't have time to go there. But he did say that he saw a stone cut out without hands hitting the feet, and it fell apart. We know who that stone is, don't we? But see, the thing is that the king moved him to a place of authority, rewarded him for what he did. I mean, he was set up. And you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, look in here. They honored the king. But you know what? There's people behind the scenes set them up that they wasn't to pray to any god but the king. And he passed a decree. And so whenever that decree was set up, they prayed like they always did. They got thrown into what? Fiery furnace. And here it is. See, There's a place we said, well, what about the wicked kings? Well, they didn't pray to the king. They continued to pray to God. Now, that's the difference. If somebody in authority asks you to do something that's contrary to the word of God, you can't go there. But you can respect the office that God put there because he's in charge. You know, in Psalms chapter 2, it says the kings of the earth stand against God and his anointed one, say, we're not going to let him rule over us. The Bible says God just sits there and laughs. How many of you know God knows he's in charge? And he knows that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there ain't no other. We got to get to the same mentality. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world that's crazy right now. But I want to tell you something. The kingdom's solid and his principles are solid. And so we see that. And you see that Daniel, what Daniel did. Daniel, same thing happened to him. They talked the king into doing something. Daniel messed up, and he got thrown in the lion's den. And it grieved the king that he had made that decree. And when he put Daniel in the lion's den, he said, Daniel, I know the God you serve is able to keep you. And the king prayed for him all night. And when Daniel come out and the king come to check on him the next morning, what did Daniel say? Oh, king, live forever. What? He said, oh, king, live forever. Says, the God sent the angels and they shut the mouth of the lions and they couldn't touch me. Well, what did the king do? He had all those that accused him throw in, their wives, their children, and everything else in the lion's den. There's no angel in there to protect them. But what I'm trying to say is, you look at all the kings. We don't have time to go through all of them. But they were there because God put them there. Everybody that's in a place of authority, I don't have to understand that. But I do have to understand one thing. If a person is in a place of authority, God put them there. You see what I'm saying? So it's our job to pray for those that's in authority so we can what? Live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. And you know, in another one, Ephesians 6:2, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You know, one of the signs of the end time, there's no respect for fathers or mothers, no respect for authority. And I might have told y'all this, but I remember when I was pulling up stop sign over here at Aikman, Christy was probably maybe elementary school, and this old person walked across in front of us. She said, man, he must have honored his mother and daddy. Why? That it may be well with you, that you live long on earth. There's a reward for being honoring. You know, the thing is, in the scripture, one of them says in 1 Samuel 2:30, I think it is, says, those that honor God, God will honor. And those that don't honor God will be lightly esteemed. See, there's an honor, but what I'm trying to say is you got to honor those whom he honors. You got to respect his authority and what he's doing. And the biggest problem I see, really, is that the kingdom is not a democracy. And that's what's hard for us. We're trying to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. It don't work. In the kingdom, the king's in charge. And he has, you know, when Paul set up the church, what did he do? He told them every time, Timothy and all of them, he says, set up elders. What are they to do? They're to exhort, they're to encourage, they're to do everything. I think I'm right here. Set up elders, they were to correct, rebuke, exhort, and build up the churches. There is order in the kingdom. There's order in the kingdom. And that's why I'm trying to say, we can save ourselves a lot of hurts for the next year if we'll just keep our mouth shut. You know, death and life's in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. You know, in Proverbs, put in Proverbs 21:23, Rod. Whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from trouble. You want to keep your soul from trouble, just study to be quiet. We may not like what's going on, but I can assure you, he's not concerned about what's going on. His purposes will prevail. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his soul. That word life there is nephes in the Hebrew, which means soul. He that keepeth his mouth keeps his soul, but he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. So we can save ourselves a lot of mess if we'll just learn to guard what we say. Amen? Now, you can get mad at me if you want to. I can't help it because I'm in the same boat you're in. But I believe the Word of God, and that's one thing about it. If the Word of God tells us something, that's the final word. It don't matter what I think about it. We can discuss it all day long, and it doesn't matter what I think about it. The Word of God is what we stand on. And that's what He told us to do. You know, I want to... I can see this ain't going to be done today. I want to read in the Passion... this is not real handy. We need to get my mic fixed. Can you get the Passion, Isaiah 45? Huh? No. You don't have Isaiah. Come here, Alan. Find me Isaiah 45. Can y'all see why this is a little hard on me to do this? Huh? Okay. All right. Isaiah 45. This is what Yahweh says to His anointed one, Cyrus. Cyrus was a heathen king, but He called him the anointed one, whose right hand I have grasped as my servant, to conquer nations, dethrone kings. For I will open doors before him, and no fortified gate will remain closed. I will march out in front of you and level every obstacle. I will shatter pieces to bronze of doors, slice through iron bars. I will give you hidden treasures of dark, concealed places, wealth waiting in secret sites, so that you recognize me. For it is I, Yahweh, God of Israel, who calls you by name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I have called you by name and give you a title of honor. But you don't even know me. God, come on now. I am Yahweh, the only God there is, and you'll never find another. I will strengthen you for victory, even though you do not intimately know who I am. Yet through you, everyone will know who I really am. Those from the rising of the sun to east to the west, everyone everywhere will know that I am Yahweh, the one and only God. And there's no other. I create light. I make darkness. I make bliss. I create adversity. I am Yahweh who does all these things. I want you to know He's in charge. Shower down righteousness, O heavens above. Let the clouds drip with deliverance. Let the earth womb open and bear salvation's fruit, with righteous rising up beside it. I, Yahweh, have created all of them. Woo! I got goosebumps then. Whoa! Shame on the one who argues with his creator, like one clay pot out of the pot's arguing with the potter. Should the clay say to the potter, I'm getting all shook up now. Woo, I feel it. Man. Woo. Should the clay say to the potter, what in the world are you doing with me? Your hands are clumsy. Shame on the one who complains to a father. Why in the world did you conceive me, or to a mother? Why in the world did you bring me to birth? Listen to what Yahweh says, the Holy One of Israel, the one who shaped him. He says, why do you question me about the destiny of my children? Man, I don't know. Or tell me what to do with my children and what I've made. I created the earth and populated it with people. With my own hands I have spread out the cosmos and then commanded the starry host to shine. I'm the one who raised him up in righteousness. I will make all his paths straight. I don't know, Alan, whether I finish this or not. But he will build my city and release my exiled people because he was not bribed or hired to do it, declares Almighty Yahweh. I think that's enough. Man, there's a whole lot of shaking going on up here. Man. And we know there was prophetic words that Trump was Cyrus, that God called and raised up. But you know what? Even though I'm telling you, he does know him. You know, Paula White has been his pastor for 8-something years. You tell me he don't know who God is. He does. He does. But you see, I guess the thing I want you to realize that overwhelmed me is, why are we worried about what's going on with all these crazies? Why are we worried about it? He's in charge. There ain't nobody anywhere unless he allows them to be there. And if they're there, we don't know his plans and purposes. You look at Nebuchadnezzar, look at Darius, look at Saul. You know, God put Saul in place. And he said, grieve me, I've made him king. But I'm telling you something. Just because the devil deceived Adam and Eve in the garden don't mean that he lost control over everything that's going on. God's never for a minute been in a place where he hadn't ruled over the heavens and the earth. He has no rival, we say. He has none to tell him what to do. We're in safe hands. And I'm telling you, I don't want to lose my reward because of dumb statements I make. Do you? You know, we need to let him be God and let him do what he wants to do, and we'll just... Isaiah 54:16 says, I have created the smith that blows the coal in the fire, that brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. But then he goes on to say, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you, you will declare wrong. Because this is a heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop there, and we'll finish this next week. But I want us to all understand. I don't know about you, but I feel guilty over what I've said and done. I have. And I knew the minute when I'd say something against people he's put in authority that I didn't feel real good about it. And that's because, you know, when we do that, we're thinking, well, what are we saying? God, you don't know what you're doing? How many of you know he knows exactly what he's doing? Everything that's going on in this world today, he had all that written down before he ever started anything. He's not surprised by anything. And you know, I just tell you for sure, he knows what's going on. But we need to be careful. I would like to finish this course this year with peace. I don't know about you. When we guard our hearts, we keep peace. When we open our mouths wide and say things we shouldn't, we may get something off our chest, but there's no peace. There's no peace. And I'm telling you, we didn't start this race to lose part of our reward by what we say. When he said every idle word, we'll give an account of in the day of judgment. That's not whether you go into heaven or not. That's the rewards before him. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Then I'll make you ruler. See, the thing about it, there's going to be positions, there's going to be different levels because it's kingdom. It's not something else. And, you know, when he said, if you keep my works until the end, Revelation 2:26, he says you'll be rulers over nations. That's there, saints. So let's realize this time we got here is just a little time of vapor. Let's don't let anything hinder us. See, we should walk as he walked, right? You remember what Pilate said to Jesus? He said, Jesus, don't you know I have the power to crucify you, or I have power to let you go? Jesus looked at him and said, well, you could have no power at all except it should be given to you, my Father. He never said another word to him. So I want to tell you, Jesus knew nobody was there unless God put them there. And so you don't have to worry and fret over what's going on. Just pray. Hey, pray like it says. Just pray for those. Because it's God's will that they be saved. Did you hear me? The next verse, it's the will of God that they all be saved. Pray for their salvation. Amen?